And it looks like we're live. Chris Graham and Rod Mullins. First time we're ever doing this. Rod and I have been doing these NASCAR weekly podcasts together for a couple of years, maybe 3 years now. But we're using new technology, as everybody is these days. And Rod is joining me from his home in Southwest Virginia. And hey, Rod, it's good to see your face and hope you're doing well.
Good to see you, but it also begs, I need to say this, I was always told this, and I believe it now, I have a face for radio, so I don't know if I should be on camera or what. So.
And for our viewers out there on the live version of this, we'll also stream this afterwards, the archive version. We'll even make it available, of course, as we normally do as a podcast. But if you're live with us now at 5:30-ish Eastern time on Wednesday, feel free to jump in with a question. If you've got a question or a comment you want us to kind of weigh in on, we'll be glad to take your comments and see if we can answer what's kind of got on your mind. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about, of course, this weekend's virtual race in Bristol. Rod would be there if it was a physical race. He's still going to be there just watching from the physical distance of home. But we'll also talk about last weekend's iRace. So let's maybe start there, Rod. Take us into somebody you've been telling us about for a while, who is a great iRacer, gets the big win this past weekend.
Yeah, Timmy Hill. He's had well over, I think it's almost close to 700 wins on the iRacing series. And he pulled a good one at the very end of the race, came up. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was leading the way there at one point. They had a couple of restarts right there. They had the green-white checkers there at the end, of course, as they went into overtime. And Timmy Hill made a move that I was impressed with. I mean, I would love to see him have a car underneath him that would have that much power and that much ability where he could whip it around the track at a Texas or a Bristol, for example. And he came up with a big win. And that kind of set the stage. You know, we've been kind of waiting for this. You know, Denny Hamlin in that first race that was broadcast on television, a lot of people were like, now this is sort of like the way it goes with NASCAR every week. You know, you've got Denny Hamlin, you've got Kyle Busch, somebody out of the Joe Gibbs Racing stable that's going to win this race. And out of nowhere on Sunday came Timmy Hill, and I was really glad to see him pull off the win.
So here's a weird question for you. When we get back to physical racing, whenever that is, hopefully next few weeks, month or two, whatever, how does this maybe translate? You talked about you've always wanted to see, because he has this great track record, Timmy Hill, of iRacing success. He just doesn't have the physical car, you know, when he's racing. Is there a possibility? What's your sense? Are you hearing any talk that maybe people are starting to see, okay, it's one thing when he's doing it and nobody's watching. Now that everybody's watching, it's on TV on Sundays. Fox is treating this as the big deal that they should be. Is there any sense that this might translate into something bigger for him down the line?
I would hope so. But, you know, we're going to be in a situation, I think, a couple of months after, even for the rest of the year, of where we're going to be seeing drivers still try to make good on what they have with the car that they have. Because, you know, basically they've only ran, three or four races here at the start of the season. They've not ran that many races. This is going to be like starting all over again with the season. And so we're getting in that situation where Timmy Hill may get a little bit of experience, but it's kind of hard for him to be able to translate maybe that setup on that race car that he's got on iRacing and be able to translate it over to a regular car, because, you know, that takes, as we all know, the funding. And right now the question's been about the funding in the sport and how it's going to be. Just got word this past week also that the next generation car is going to be pushed back to probably the middle of 2021. We were hoping to be able to see it this year, but that's going to be pushed back. So for him, I think there'll be some people out there noticing him and so forth. There'll be a lot of people cheering and hoping that he has some of the stuff underneath that car when we do get back to racing, that he can maybe make a run toward the front, but it's kind of doubtful. And I hate to say that and be a Debbie Downer about the whole thing, but that's kind of the way it looks right now in the sport.
Yeah, and maybe, the question, if it was about this season, certainly you're stuck with, or you have what you have this season, but maybe in the off silly season time, if you're a car owner, maybe thinking ahead, just he might be somebody to keep an eye on as far as that goes when we get to silly season. Can't wait till silly season. That means we've gone through an actual season and then there's a silly season. So we're still dreaming about all these things happening right down the line. So mention to our viewers, listeners, that you would be at the physical race at Bristol this weekend. We would be really just getting into all the great stuff that will be going on in Thunder Valley. Of course, that is scuttled for now. We'll hope we get a second race in the summertime, certainly. But in the meantime, NASCAR is forging ahead with these iRaces, and you had some news this afternoon, Rod, about how NASCAR is really ramping up for this weekend with the Bristol race, and it seems like things are really picking up for NASCAR. The success of these iRaces is leading to more, I guess, attention being paid to detail with these broadcasts.
Well, ratings were great last week for the Texas race. It was the highest rated iRacing event that was on the schedule, and a lot of people tuned in to watch it. And for this week, I mean, last week at Texas, they had O'Reilly's Auto Parts on as a sponsor for that. And they were sponsoring the race anyway at Texas. And so in that same mode, Food City, who is one of the big grocery chains that we have here in our area, they've been with Bristol for a very, very long time. And they just about do anything. If it's racing related, they get behind it. And so I guess what happened is Jerry Caldwell and some of the people at Bristol Motor Speedway got together with them and said, hey, do you want to lend your name to support of this invitational race that's going to be coming up on Sunday? And Food City gladly obliged, because, you know, Food City, we have to look at it. It's sort of the same way, and we're kind of getting on this coronavirus thing again. Food City is in one of these desperate things of where they have to go, and they're trying to move goods out. They're trying to hire people. They're trying to keep the flow going for a lot of people about things. And so they love keeping their name out there till people can associate with who they are. And so now that they're going to be involved with it, we've got, I just got word here this afternoon that they're going to go to an even bigger thing. They're going to have a Saturday Night Thunder event on iRacing involved with Bristol Motor Speedway. And you're going to have some people that are going to be non-NASCAR drivers, giving them a chance to be able to compete on Saturday night in truck race or an Xfinity race type of event. And then on Sunday, nobody will move up from that Saturday night race going into the Sunday race. But still, it gives some exposure on this iRacing thing. I know a guy, as a matter of fact, he's an aspiring NASCAR driver, wants to be on the NASCAR circuit. He is a Gulf War veteran. He's been involved over in Iraq and also in Afghanistan. He uses this. He's been doing some of the iRacing thing now, going to Charlotte and racing in some of the rigs that they have down there and trying to get himself ready, and did pretty good at Bristol in some heat races earlier in the week when they started out. He got the pole, I think, on two races and then ended up finishing like third or fourth in each one of the races. It was respectable. It was great, considering it'd probably be better than what I would do if I got out on the track. But, you know, he's hoping for that big break. And, you know, I'm hoping to see Paul Lincas at least somewhere in NASCAR before it's over with. He did really well this past week. And so that's going to give drivers like that a chance to, you know, get their name out there maybe on Saturday night. That'll be broadcast on eNASCAR. And then, of course, the big race on Sunday will be on Fox.
And Crystal Graham, our digital editor, I see on the Facebook page right now, she's asking our listeners out there, have you watched NASCAR iRacing? What do you think about it? Will you be watching this weekend? And as Rod pointed out, I mean, the ratings for this are really, really strong. You know, it was a one-time experiment, maybe a few weeks ago when this started up, but just a way to, let's see what happens with it. But I've seen the numbers too. Yeah, millions of people are watching this. The racers certainly are getting involved, and now you're seeing the sponsors getting involved. And so this is a great diversion. You know, NASCAR, Rod, we texted each other about how it took a lot for the stubborn rednecks who run NASCAR to close down the physical races. But, you know, I would not have thought that they would have been this agile to pivot in the way they have. They got something really successful here. Do you think that iRacing is something now that people kind of tasted it? Now, obviously, when we get back to physical racing, you know, a lot of our attention will go back there. But do you think that this is going to be really a boost in the arm of iRacing, that it can have a foothold after we get back to some sort of normalcy?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's going to be a shot in the arm for drivers, for example, like a Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson competed the other night, I think, in one of the IndyCar Formula One type races. And he considered it a learning experience of what it was. And that's what he has said he would like to do when he gets out of NASCAR, when he retires this year, if he doesn't extend his time through that retirement. but he said he would like to go to an open wheel racing sort of thing with the IndyCar circuit, maybe race a couple of races. It's looking even better that they might do something in the month of August. Of course, they're going to race in July at Indy with the Brickyard race, and then they'll come back in August to race right around that time for another IndyCar race. And they're also going to run a road course that weekend up there at Indy. So it's going to give him some experience, and I think this is kind of giving him some training and some ideas. But, hey, we're just throwing that name out to the wind. You've got other drivers coming into the sport, too, from other divisions, other circuits. Ron Capps is coming over from the NHRA. I think Antron Brown is also going to be doing this. Some of these guys are really getting with it. And Ron Capps turned around, and he's going to be doing an open-wheel dirt track race, I think, tonight. And there's a race also going on tonight as well on eNASCAR. There's going to be so many of these events taking place. I hope it doesn't go and kind of saturate the market too much. But it's still, these drivers, this is their chance to be able to get out there and get a couple of little practice laps in while they're doing some things here during this all this delay.
And I say for the fans, it's something. I mean, you know, we don't have any other live sports right now. We have pro wrestling, and it's interesting. There was a tie between pro wrestling and NASCAR in this one respect. Rob Gronkowski will be the virtual, the virtual race marshal for Bristol.
Grand Marshal, yeah.
And he's also going to be the host of WrestleMania this weekend. So, you know, those, and after this weekend, I'm not sure what wrestling does. WrestleMania is having a two-night event this weekend. Now with the stay-at-home order in Florida, that's where WWE has been filming its shows. Have to imagine that. And they apparently, from reports, have put some shows in the bank that might keep them going through the month of April, I should say, into the 1st of May. So NASCAR is the game right now. And I think we're fortunate. I mean, yeah, it's not the real thing, but it's close, and we got the real people involved in it. Here's a question for you, Rod. What is your thought on how approximate is it in terms of the skill that it takes to win in iRacing as to what it takes to win on the track? How close do you think that the two kind of are in terms of the measure of skills it takes?
The iRacing program, from what I understand, just about duplicates every kind of bump, every kind of feel that you get when you're out there on the track. I know that one of the highlights that I saw over the weekend, one of the guys got turned around. And, I mean, here's his hands up on the wheel, and he's trying to control, and you virtually saw that. And, I mean, he's spinning around all over the place. You know, it prevents, of course, any kind of you know, dire injury that could have happened to Ryan Newman, of course, at Daytona, but you still are able to go and lose your temper out of this. This is not just something like Clint Bowyer kind of laughed off on Sunday, and he says, look, he looks like he's driving down the middle of the track with a beer in his hand in one hand, and he's trying to hold the wheel in the other. I love that kind of interaction, especially with Clint Bowyer, but, you know, at the same time, some of these guys know how rough it is on the track. For some of these other younger ones, they're aspiring to want to get to that point on the track. And this is the only way it kind of provides them that experience, because they don't have the sponsor. They don't have the people that's there looking at them. But who knows? I mean, after this, we could see some new faces in NASCAR that might perk up the sport a little bit more.
Didn't somebody get pitted this weekend for trying to wreck somebody? I can't remember who it was, but I think I saw that, right?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I'll find out, but I think Daniel Suarez got pitted. I think they put him in the pits, and he was intentionally trying to ram somebody out on the track. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's having all sorts of trouble this year. And then they want to go and put him in a virtual penalty box in iNASCAR racing. So it was a surprise.
Yeah, it's real, right? If you're trying to wreck somebody, you're getting pitted. It's real racing, so that's good to see. So, hey, Rod, what can we expect? You're going to be in your virtual press box there this weekend. What can we expect from you this weekend in terms of coverage?
I'm going to see some angles that I never get to see, to be honest with you, because where I'm at down at in the pits in Bristol, I'm usually there in the media center. Of course, I do have, you know, TVs and everything like that to kind of keep track of what's going on. And I do go out on the track a little bit there around the turns and kind of get an idea of what's going on. But it'll be a different feel. One thing I think is going to be a big thing about it, some people might say, well, it's all virtual, it doesn't make any difference. Bristol will have a sellout this week. There will be no doubt about that. I know they've been having trouble getting people to come in during the spring race because either it's too cold, it's too rainy. Something always happens usually in that first or second week of April. This time, they get to control the weather conditions. I mean, this iRacing, they'll have a sellout. Now, the big thing is it going to translate into ratings? That's what we're hoping for. You're hoping that it's going to translate more into a lot of people watching Bristol and kind of getting the idea, is this what Bristol is really like? And so for me, I'm going to see all these angles. I'm going to see Mike Joy, Jeff Gordon, the same way that people see them on television. I'm going to be seeing them at home, but I'm just going to pretty much be writing up about who won the race, what they did, and how some of the things went. And I can also, I think, in some of the subscriptions, I think I can go on there and I can kind of look around at some of the drivers and see what they're doing during the course of the race. So that kind of gives me a little bit of an added thrill to be able to kind of see things like that going on during the race that I wouldn't normally get a chance to see while I'm there in person at Bristol.
And, you know, I say this all the time when I go cover basketball games, especially football games too. I broadcast the baseball game, so I don't get, you know, I'm seeing it in a different way there too. But when I cover the games, sometimes you see less there than you do at home because now with the way broadcasters work, man, they give you everything. And of course, with NASCAR, you get all the communications and everything else. But, you know, there are times that we're courtside at a basketball game and somebody got hurt. And there are people asking us on social media, hey, what happened to that guy? And I'm like, I'm going to ask you because you have the announcers. They don't tell us sitting courtside. So that's an interesting perspective. You get to see things in a different way. And it's because it's your home race, you'll be paying more attention probably to some things as far as that goes. So, yeah, it should be really interesting coverage for me this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be different for me, but I'll get to see some things a lot differently. And, you know, there's not this thing of who got hurt out on the track. There won't be a thing of if somebody got slammed. We go and sometimes we all just make a convergence on to the infield care center sometimes to wait on them to come out. But, you know, at Bristol, everything is happening so fast. It is, I mean, when they're able to go and get the track cleared off and clean, you're really back to having to keep up with what's going on out on the track. And you have to kind of miss some of those things sometimes.
So for our live listeners, we'll be wrapping up here in a minute or two, but there were questions on the Facebook feed that our digital editor man put up there. If you want to answer those later, we'll look at those. And if you have questions for our future podcast, certainly, but Rod is going to be covering the virtual Bristol race for us this weekend. And so, it's not quite as much fun, obviously, as being there. You get to feel the noise and everything else. But Rod, look forward to it this weekend. Stay with me on the Zoom. Thanks to Zoom technology for allowing us to do this. Stay with me on the Zoom for just a second. But as we wrap up our podcast, I want to thank all of our viewers, our listeners, everything else. And we will talk to you again soon.